presentations, water cooler chats, groupthink meetings to kick up thought showers. Office life can be dull. Learn what's happening in nature and on the farm every week with Mairead Lavery from the Farmer's Journal. There. Anyway, Mairead Lavery from the Farmer's Journal joins us once again. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
We were talking already to a farmer whose farm straddles the border in the sense he has 200 acres on one side, 100 acres on the other side.
So there's a lot of them.
So he's worried about, if there's a hard border, how's that going to affect him?
God only knows.
Going back and forth. Now, when it comes to, if it is a hard Brexit situation and there's tariffs and all the rest of it, it's not actually an equal playing field, if you like, for all 26 or 27 members.
It'll
hit us harder.
Yeah, we kind of believe here, you know, because look, we're at the back of England. England kind of blocks us off. It's like an eclipse of the sun.
Yes.
If you take the size of Europe and then you've got this great big block in the middle and then there's us. And we're kind of, because we're very dependent on the UK, imports into the UK or exports to the UK, that, you know, every other country is equally kind of concerned about all of this. And we're all kind of on high dough about it, but nothing could be further from the truth. You know, the mood music at the moment, although, as you say, Theresa May is kind of talking conciliatory this evening or this afternoon, you know, it hasn't been great. It's been very snipey, and a strong view around the European table that Britain's going to suffer for this. They cannot be better off. Now, from an export point of view over to the UK, the best case scenario is a free trade scenario where we're basically in the same situation as we are now. There's going to be no tariffs, you know, no, there might be border controls, but there's going to be nobody having to put money in their pocket to export into the UK.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's what will happen. But if it doesn't, WTO is one of the, you know, the big trade platforms in across the world. And if it was in that sort of a situation, you know, and Theresa May's attitude that a no deal is better than a bad deal. So if it was a world trade type situation, if you take the Germany is the EU's biggest trading partner with the UK, and Germany accounts for 28% of all exports to the UK, EU exports to the UK. Ireland accounts for a measly 5% of all exports to the UK, of all EU exports to the UK. So 28 versus 5. But because of our mix of product that goes into the UK, which is mainly beef and dairy, we'd end up paying over 19% of the tariffs in a world trade scenario versus Germany, which only would be paying 17% on way more sales.
Because you have to pay higher tariffs on what we export than what Germany exports.
Fancy BMWs and Mercs and all the rest of it, the big car industry in Germany, they wouldn't have to pay anything like the tariffs that we'd have to pay to send over, you know, a couple of bit of butter and milk and
Isn't
all the rest
mad?
Of it.
Isn't that mad? The tariffs higher on food that people need.
Well, now, of course, probably the tariffs are there, you know, to protect Europe from a whole lot of cheap imports. But now the UK would be outside of that and they're a big trading bloc with us. So we're totally disproportionately hit. But we think kind of that all the countries will be hit like this. But only 7 EU countries in total, Germany, the Netherlands, France, Belgium, Italy, Spain and Ireland, we account for 83% of all exports into the UK. And the other 20, it's minuscule. It doesn't even matter. Mm. It's not even going to be an interest or a concern to them. So it's just another way in how, you know, the EU speaking with one voice with regards to Brexit and to the British negotiations to leave. Our interests are like so different to our neighbours. It just seems extraordinary that we're going to be able to speak with a common voice here. You know, to be faced with a situation where on 5% of total EU sales into the EU, into the UK, Ireland could end up facing a bill of, for, is it 19% of the tariffs? Just on 5% of the total sales. Mm. Whereas Germany, on 28% of total sales, would only have to face 17% of the tariffs. So
that's a scary thought. But at the same time, the fact that Germany, though, is such a big exporter to the UK, they have a vested interest in doing some sort of a deal.
They have a vested interest in getting something right. But still, you know, it's minuscule in comparison to the situation that Ireland finds itself in.
Mm-hmm.
So how we're going to negotiate a common platform is going to be a real challenge to government and to everybody else. You know, this is going to dominate the news for the next couple of years. And will it be over in 2 years' time? I can't see it happening.
Well, yeah, we shall see. They say it has to be, but I suppose we'll find out. The Agri Careers Fair is taking place.
Yes, now this is a big event. We held it with our partners Open Air last year for the first time. Sukkot and See went into the Industries Hall in the RDS, decided, look, there's heaps of jobs going on in rural Ireland. We know about it. There's loads of people in Dublin who can't afford mortgages, who are paying exorbitant rent. They only have to pay half the rate down the country. Half of the people think you need an ag science degree or a green cert or something to go and work in the agri industry. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mm. So last year we held the first one. We had, I think, about 35 stands. We did 1,000 jobs in the day, actual real live jobs. We know of employers who picked up, you know, of their 12 graduate trainees, they took on 8 of them at the fair. We ended up with the door shut because we couldn't get anybody else into the hall. There were so many people came. So this year we are in the main hall of the RDS. We have doubled in size. We have over 60 exhibitor stands. We have heading for 1,200 jobs, and the jobs are right across every sector you could imagine. They're not just now, so but they're not just for, you know, people with degrees or PhDs, but they're for apprentices. They're for people who are maybe changing jobs. They're people coming out for their first jobs. So there's an absolute pile. So just in for people who are interested in listening to this, it's free in tomorrow. It's happening all day in the RDS. Accountants, marketing communication managers, procurement category managers, regional sales managers, head of brand marketing, business development managers, chemical engineers, IT administrators, IT technical support, head of HR, health and safety managers, head of planning, management trainees, apprentice technicians, farm managers, farm operatives, lab technicians, sales advisors, software engineers. That's just some of them.
Yeah.
That's like just a fast run through. And a lot of those are jobs.
Like jobs that you know, you might have a qualification in this kind of area and you know, it's nothing to do with agriculture. You might assume it's nothing to do with agriculture.
You might assume that it's nothing got to do with it. But I mean, if you've got language skills, any sort of skill, we've got world leading companies in this country involved in the agribusiness. And they need good caliber people, and this is an opportunity for people to potentially meet a new employer or to see if they're in college, what area they might be going into or specialise in. Or we have a whole schools area tomorrow, a whole school zone for the 5th and 6th years and transition years and the kids doing ag science, and there's just a hub for them. We'll have career talks, we'll have CV talks, and then all day long for the whole day we're going to have kind of panel sessions, panel debates on, you know, if you want to travel a lot, here's the kind of ideal ag jobs. So we have three people there. Mm. If you want to be a food entrepreneur, we have three people who've done it. The horse racing industry, if you want to get involved in that, here's what you have to do. We have a panel on that all day. The families getting on together farming. We have a family from North County Dublin where there's 15 of them involved in the farm. So right across the day, there's going to be something to listen to. There's something to meet. We're even having them on the schools hub, teachers versus their pupils, and see who knows more about agriculture.
Yes.
So we'll see who's going to dare brave that. But it's a fantastic day. We're expecting a really big crowd. As I said, we've the guts of 1,200 jobs on offer tomorrow.
Right, and these are real actual jobs.
Real.
That are going.
I mean, sure, I'm after reading out a whole list of them there to you. The companies that we have on the stands include ABP, Group, Altec, Arabon, Arrivo, Bank of Ireland, Bord Beer, Class, Dairy Gold, Dawn Meats, Department of Agriculture, Fifes. I could go on. Keepak, McHale, Massey Ferguson. One of the new areas is the whole agri-tech area. Technology is becoming really more important now in farming and in the whole ag sector. So we're going to be examining what's available out there, what are the apps, what are the new companies that look out for in the whole agri-tech industry. How machinery, you know, the skills that we now need to manage the machinery that are involved in agriculture. So it's a huge day right across the sector. And, you know, we've had fantastic support from employers right around the country who see this as an opportunity to showcase the kind of jobs that are available in rural Ireland. And they had such success last year with people dropping in their CVs. Actually, do you know who were fierce active last year at the show?
Who?
The Mammies of Ireland.
Yes. Well, they usually are.
They were there in their droves to check out the information for the young lad or the young one who was heading for the Leaving Cert and didn't know what they wanted to do, and to get him pointed in the right direction for the CAO courses. We have a whole session on how to get a job in Chagask. I mean, it is, you know, and they will have a very big stand there, as will the Department of Agriculture, and there's always huge interest in those kind of stands. So look at every sort of career. If you're, you know, starting out in a career, if you're in your first or second job with some experience behind you, you maybe want to move back down to Galway back to Mayo or wherever it is, and you haven't a clue where to start even looking for a job in that region, we will hopefully have the answers for you tomorrow at the fair.
Okay, excellent.
It's all day. Right. And it's free.
You also have a story. Oh, it's free in. That's
free in,
important. Yeah. You also have Ireland's biggest field. Who owns Ireland's biggest field?
Yeah, long story about the Isle. Well, it's not. It was a long story about it. Actually, originally it had an acre for every single day of the year, would you believe? And it's above in a place called Hilltown in County Meath. And it's a checkered history. It was part of the Hilltown estate near Bellewstown. And it was bought by Ray Coyle, Mr. Tato fame.
You right, know Ray, okay,
Ray,
yes.
You see him regularly. And he's the man who made it into one huge big field. Now, some people will give out about that, you know, that we need our hedges, but we've still got a hell of a lot of hedges in this country. But anyway, he made it all into a big field, but he got into a bit of trouble financially. And he decided that the way he was going to clear his debt was to ransom, or not ransom, but put the farm up for a raffle.
Yes.
So he sold 4,000 tickets at €300 each. Novel way of doing it.
Okay,
a lot of people would kind of chance their €300 to get a chance at a huge farm like that. And anyway, a Wicklow man won it, a man by the name of Austin Lawler. He farmed it for a couple of years, and it's now the McGuinness farm family. John, Michael and Thomas bought it originally back in 1986. So they're wondering, you know, it's a full tillage. It grows crops. It's been growing tillage all its time. It takes, it's in winter barley at the moment. It takes a long time to get around it. And they're wondering, is it the biggest field in the country?
Yeah.
It's 334 acres. There was a small piece sold off for 21 acres or 13 acres or something. Whatever, 365 minus 334, you can do the maths.
Yeah.
But that's what's in it now, 334 acres in the one field.
That's huge. What would be the logic of having a field that big?
Very easy in tillage for machinery to move or manoeuvre around.
Right,
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely, you know. Now, it seems it takes a bit of work, it takes a bit of management, it's in 12 divisions. But it really is for big combines. There's no corners, there's no nothing to get in the way. They just go in and they cut the crops.
Yeah.
Now, if you had maybe cattle or cows in it, you know, they want a bit of shelter. They'd want to be able to kind of, you know, put their backs against, you know, that they're sheltered out of heavy wind or heavy rain. But certainly for the tillage guys, you know, the big field suit. I mean, if you look in France, you know, you can drive the motorways and you just see fields that go on for an eternity. The same in Canada. If you know any of the big photographs, you know, from drones or aerial photographs, just show these massive, massive fields. But is it the biggest field in the country? It comprises at the moment 334 acres.
Well, if anyone's got a bigger one, please get in contact and let us know. I know there's a lot of anxiety around Brexit, and there's a lot of what if this happens, what if that happens.
Yeah.
Is there any upside to it from the agri-food point of view? Might there be any positives in Brexit?
Look, at anything that will get people scratching their heads to come up with new ideas. We're good at finding a way out of things. We're good at, you know, finding new markets. New markets are the thing, but not ignoring the fact, you know, that, you know, no matter what you do, your biggest neighbour, the nearest neighbour that you have, a country that you share an awful lot of cultural stuff with. I mean, we like our chicken curries, you know, we like our beef stroganoffs. They're the easiest markets to have. And if there are, you know, boundaries or if there are barricades put up against that market, it will make things more difficult. But it just means that the likes of Ornua and the likes of Borbia and the big international food companies that we have, they're going to have to stretch themselves that bit further to make up for the difficult the differences that occur. And it's just a matter of making the best of whatever situation emerges. One would hope that Theresa May and her government, I mean, she seems to be very stretched at the moment between the hard Brexiteers, who are probably the majority, and the people who don't want to, you know, who really don't care one way or the other, but who are very, you know, even much more to the right of the situation, don't want any kind of contact with the EU. So it's where she's going to come down and who she's going to try to appease.
It mightn't be up to her, though. And then, I mean, there'll be people in Europe who want to punish Britain and not say, look, you can have a better deal if you leave, because everyone would leave.
Well, exactly. Well, would they or would they not? I mean, you know, we see the situation now in France where Jean-Marie Le Pen doesn't look like a shoo-in to become president anymore. We see the situation in Holland where they pull back from a very far right situation as well. So it may be that you know, people are looking at what the situation facing the likes of Britain is, and don't necessarily want to see that happening in their own country.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we'll see with the French presidential election what happens there. But it's moving, and there does seem to be determination on the European side that it's going to be harder on Britain. Britain has to be worse off after it leaves than when it was in. And we're the one with the border, the land border with Northern Ireland. And we're the country with, you know, in terms of our exports, proportionately a huge amount go to the UK. So any reintroduction of tariffs or stuff like that would be very damaging.
We have to start taking the horse to France, so to speak.
We have to start taking a lot of things to France.
Patrick says, my field in Mayo, 740 acres.
Really?
Yeah. No.
In Mayo, 740 acres?
That's about the size of Mayo. What are you talking about?
No.
That's an awfully big field.
Is it a big
He says, my field is 740 here in Mayo. Same setup, he says.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to know a bit more about that.
Patrick, yeah. Can we pass on your details to Mairead?
Yeah, we'd love to see that.
Bit of a scoop there. Anyway, yeah. Mairead, thanks a million for coming in.
That's twice the size.
Twice the size. There you go, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal, back in a couple of minutes.
Tune in every Wednesday from 2:45 to learn more about farming life on Moncrief.